You may recall that we're looking at the theme of the deacons or the diaconal ministry of the church. And last Sunday we had Pentecost, and we had the revelation that Pentecost actually produced deacons, because the hearts of God's people were so influenced by the Holy Spirit that they were released in generosity and kindness, in looking to help others. That's the influence of the Holy Spirit in us. He is always flowing out to others. And that was the influence of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming. When we read the transforming work in the hearts of God's people, if you read Acts chapter 2, 3 and 4 particularly, you see this community and you look at ourselves and you think, oh Lord, come down, do that here. Because this is what happened. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. They knew God answered prayer. In fact, the leaders of the church, when there was the need of these widows who were not being served adequately, they told the rest of the church they wouldn't do that. That sounds like, you know, being superior. No, they said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. They knew that prayer was so important. In fact, all that caring for people and what it wouldn't happen without the prayer first. You can see the priority, because it was God at work in answer to the prayers of those that released the body to function. But when they did pray, of course, and we looked at it last Sunday, we read this. These people were so touched by the Holy Spirit that awe came upon every soul. God was at work. And many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles or through them. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. You know, their cars, their houses, they just opened them up to each other. Sounds like a dramatic happening, isn't it? A beautiful scene. They were selling their possessions. Oh, but wait a minute, I've got that, you know, lovely car in the garage there, Zach, you know, selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any who had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Of course he was. I mean, such love is being released among people. Others were attracted like bees to the honeypot. There was such a release of heavenly love in the hearts of these people for each other. A treasure had been discovered. And they embraced the treasure. And of course, that was the Holy Spirit poured into their hearts, producing an extraordinary love. Many wonders and signs. The presence of God was clear in their midst, loosing their hold on earthly possessions, selling and giving proceeds to any who had need, desiring to be in God's house every day, not just in the Sabbath, but to pray and seek more heavenly treasure. In this new heavenly community on earth, the diaconal ministry of the church was birthed. Would you like to see that happen here? In every church across our nation? Just imagine. And we read this about the raising up of deacons. Because today we're looking at one simple truth about the Christian message, about the message of God. And it's this: those who look to him, those who look to Jesus, are radiant. God wants us to be radiant. Like Kerry was describing, the bride, as she comes down the aisle and people in the church look at her and she's shining because she's coming to her bridegroom. Well, God wants us as his people to be radiant. And he tells us in his word, those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. And we see this powerfully evident in the life of one man who's singled out by Luke, one of the first deacons, Stephen. So here's this man. He's described in Acts 6 verse 5 like this. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And later, 6 verse 8, it says he was full of grace and power. The outworking of Stephen's life is recorded by Luke in the next chapter and a half. The Bible focuses on this one man for a reason. He could have talked about any of the others, but the Bible, God, wants us to think about Stephen. And we read this, Acts 6 verse 10 says this, they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. They couldn't overcome it. And the council, in chapter 6 verse 15, the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. This is the impact of God's Spirit coming fully upon a human being. And he preaches a message to the people. A wonderful account of God's great work in the lives of individual people, actually, in the Old Testament. He focuses particularly on those who were walking closely with God. Abraham, he starts with. And he moves on. And he says this about Joseph. The patriarchs, so those sons of Jacob, jealous of Joseph. See, Joseph was radiant and his brothers were jealous. They looked at him. How can he be radiant? Knock him off. Throw him in a pit. He had encounters. He had dreams of God. He was walking intimately with the God of heaven and earth. And Stephen is referring to Joseph. He says, they sold him into Egypt, but God was with him and rescued him out of all his afflictions. It doesn't mean a servant of God doesn't have afflictions. We're about to read in a moment, man having extreme afflictions. He's stoned to death. The servants of God are not without afflictions, but God can empower those servants above their afflictions to shine, to be radiant. God was with him and rescued him out of all his and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In the end, of course, Pharaoh made him prime minister of Egypt. He certainly was radiant, Joseph. But then Stephen moves on. He moves on to Moses. Remember Moses, whose face was shining, that he had to put a veil over his face? He says, this Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? This man, God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This is supernatural encounter with God. And as Stephen reaches the close of his message in Acts 7, he identifies the key issue that is leading the hostility against himself and the movement of God in that time. He says this, you stiff-necked people. uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You see, if we resist the Holy Spirit, for certain you cannot shine. It's the Holy Spirit who releases us to shine. That was evident at Pentecost. God is speaking through his servant Stephen with passion. Stephen is shining. The people who are listening to him, he recognizes they've got stiff necks. What does a stiff neck actually mean? And an uncircumcised heart and ears? Well, stiff-necked is to be stubborn. To be stubborn. To be obstinate. To refuse to bend or change your mind. It generally carries a disapproving tone, implying a person is proud, unyielding, resistant to direction or advice. When challenged, a person in this condition of heart will react and defend themselves, fighting against the one God actually uses as the messenger. So Stephen is stoned to death. Yep, they were stiff-necked, all right. Well, you cannot be led by the Spirit of God unless first you are broken-hearted. Did you know that? You can't be led by the Spirit of God until you are broken-hearted over your sin. And David brings this out so clearly in the psalm we read today. He says in verse 18 of Psalm 34, God is near to the brokenhearted. God is near to the person who recognizes their brokenness. Do you remember the woman caught in adultery? She was about to be stoned to death. And she's dragged out and put in front of Jesus. And she's weeping over her state. And Jesus just, you know, the Pharisees and the leaders, they, ha! This woman caught in adultery. It says in the law, you should stone them to death. What do you say, Jesus? Well, God is near to the brokenhearted. And Jesus just writes on the ground and he says, let the one among you who is without sin throw the first stone. And they all went away because they all knew they were sinners. And then the woman is there weeping. And Jesus simply says to her, woman, where are your accusers? God is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I often think of this woman. You know, there was the man, the only man who had the right to stone her to death was Jesus. The one without sin, throw the first stone. Now think about this woman when Jesus finally is nailed to a cross, the one who released her from the burden. And there he is, nailed to a cross, and she's looking at this man who had the right to stone her to death. What do you think she's doing now? She's broken. She's weeping. Not in sadness. She's overwhelmed by the love of God for her. Now, you can't know the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit until you know the deep love of God for you. And that comes when you're brokenhearted. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, what about Stephen? He didn't look too brokenhearted. Oh no? You've missed something in the book of Acts. You see, Stephen was one of the converts, wasn't he, at Pentecost. 3,000 souls were added. And what do we read there? Well, Peter, when he preached the message, the crowd said, Luke records, now, when they heard the message Peter was preaching, they were cut to the heart. That includes Stephen. Cut to the heart over what they had done in their lives that had caused Jesus to be crucified. And Stephen was among them. Cut to the heart. And they said to the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And of course, Peter simply said, repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's what happened. And Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did a work to circumcise the heart of these people. And a broken, contrite-hearted people is the foundation of all true faith in Jesus Christ. This condition of heart opens up the way for the Holy Spirit to take control of our lives. You see, we are so often in control ourselves. And that's actually part of our stiff-neckedness. When the Bible tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, and we say, well, but not this circumstance. Or it says, rejoice always. We resist. But you see, the person who's broken just says, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever you say. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you are led by the Spirit, for he will always lead you to be filled. And David knows this. David in the Old Testament knew that the reality of this. He says in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, as was rightly read, I think it was Jyoti, you were reading that to us today, and you talked about him feigning madness because he was being pursued by Saul. It wasn't as if the servant of God was, oh, he's just rejoicing in the happiness of drinking wine and sitting by his table. He was being pursued by someone who's trying to kill him. He even had to feign madness before the Philistines, you know, to escape from this situation. So it wasn't as if he wasn't suffering. But he says this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Now, it's only the humble who can be glad. If there is any pride in your life, God is warring against you. That's the truth. If you think you know it, if you think you've got all the answers, God is warring against you. It's the person who knows they don't have all the answers. The person who knows they are totally dependent. The person who knows that it's only God who can help them. And David is talking about this. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. How can you be delivered from all fear? The love of God is poured into your heart. That's the only way you can be delivered from fear. Perfect love, that's God's love, agape love, casts out fear. and David received a baptism of love, if you like. And then he says this, those who look to him are radiant. They are radiant. Those who look to Jesus, to God. And how is that? Their faces shall never be ashamed. Or we could say this, they will have no shame anymore. That means they once did have shame. And how does shame come? It comes because of sin and guilt. You're feeling guilty about something and there's shame. But you see, Jesus is the one who died for all your sins. So if you look to him, you will have all your sins dealt with, completely removed. All the guilt and shame is removed. And with no shame, your faces will be released. No sense of guilt. You will be radiant. And we read of Stephen in Acts 7. This is what happens. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Now notice that. A person full of the Holy Spirit will always have encounter with God. You cannot be full of the Holy Spirit and not encounter with God. That's just complete nonsense. If the Holy Spirit, who is God, fills you, then you are connected to the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. You are going to encounter God. And this is exactly what Stephen is encountering here. Full of the Holy Spirit, he gazes into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see heaven opened. Do you remember Elisha in the city of Dothan? Do you remember the Syrian army and how Elisha was telling the king of Israel about the plots of the Syrian army? How was he doing that? He was in fellowship with God. He was connecting to the God of heaven and earth. How was he maintaining that fellowship? Well, he told Elijah, when Elijah went up into heaven, he wanted a double portion of the Spirit that dwelt in Elijah. It's through the Holy Spirit that this man was connected. And of course, when that Syrian army came around Dothan, his servant woke up in the morning and looked out and we're all finished. Because he couldn't see the heavenly realm. I wonder how much we are seeing the heavenly realm and seeing the victory of Jesus in the conditions we are facing right now. Well, Stephen saw this. And Elisha saw it too. He said, oh Lord, open his eyes that he could see. And his eyes were opened and he saw the heavenly realm. And here is Stephen saying, behold, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Isn't that powerful? You know, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God. That's what it says. But Stephen sees Jesus standing to welcome his friend into his kingdom, like the bridegroom is standing for Stephen, and Stephen's face is radiant. This is an account of a man described as full of the Holy Spirit. He is full of God, in union with God, connected through the Spirit to the Father and the Son. Heaven is so real to Stephen that he declares the wonder of heavenly things to his listeners. Now, on Friday night, I went up to Alex's gathering there at Belgrave Heights. And I saw a man stand in front of us who was shining. Danny Abdallah, who lost his three children in that horrific accident in Sydney, he was shining. And he talked to us about the importance of heaven and seeing heaven and living for heaven. He talked about how he was soon going to be with his children, because life on earth is short. They're in heaven with Jesus and he's going to be with them. He was shining. But let me tell you this. In his talk, of course, he forgave the man who drove into his kids and knocked them over and killed them, because really his wife was the one who was empowered at first and released that forgiveness into the whole circle and into his life too. And he yielded to her and forgave. Well, the man in prison who learnt about this forgiveness, friends, the power of forgiving somebody is extraordinary. The power of forgiveness is extraordinary. This man in prison had come to know Jesus Christ. This is before Danny Abdallah went to see him. You know, the prisoners there in the jail were wanting to kill this man because of what he'd done. But when they heard that the Abdallah family had forgiven this man, they all drew back. And this man came to know Jesus. He was reading his Bible every day. And Danny went to see him. And he came back out of that encounter saying to his pastor, he was shining. He was radiant. And Danny was challenged by the radiance of this man in prison. He was challenged. The power of forgiveness had released this man into fellowship with God. So, friends, I have to say this to you. If you're holding anything against anyone today, forgive them. For you will release blessing onto that person. Well, this man in prison was so radiant, David Mangelsdorf told me this morning, that the fellow who was in prison with him in the same cell, was it? Yeah. Got converted too. He was radiant, you see. God wants us to be radiant. And you are radiant when you know your sins are forgiven. Now, remember this. Being full of the Holy Spirit is not the same as being born again. Every Christian who comes to know Jesus truly is born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But you and I can readily confess that there are times when we are not full of the Holy Spirit. There are times when we sin and grieve God. There are times when our hearts limit the Spirit filling us. We're holding on to judgments and criticisms of other people. The Holy Spirit can't fill you if you're holding on to these things. We can refuse to give up old habits, idols, our fleshly desires. We can seek comfort in, you know, food or drink or whatever it is. And while they satisfy momentarily, they can never satisfy the way Jesus satisfies. And this is why David writes in Psalm 34, he wrote, "This poor man cried." So he's not telling us that he was constantly on top. He was empty and in need. Now, he didn't say he sought earthly means to comfort himself. He cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles, because he truly trusted God to rescue him, to deliver him, to forgive him, to cleanse him, to do all that was needed for him. And he writes, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who fear God, not man, and delivers them. And then he says this, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste. God is willing for you to draw near to him and taste the goodness, his goodness. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And here is Stephen. They've got the stones out, dragged him out of the city, and they're stoning to death, and he is shining, radiant, because he is looking to Jesus. David declares that the outcome of crying to God, seeking God, looking to him, is that we will be radiant and that our faces shall never be ashamed. The wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, remember Jesus said this, the Holy Spirit will convict of sin, not condemn of sin, convict of sin, because he wants to set us free from sin. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment, so that we see that the righteousness is in Jesus, not in us. The judgment that is come will come to all men, but it has fallen on Jesus on the cross, so I'm free. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin so that a person can seek forgiveness from God and cleansing through his precious blood. Just like Isaiah, who saw the Lord, he was convicted of sin, things that he'd said from his mouth. But he was cleansed and he was released to give us the book of Isaiah. How about that? As I said before, God wants all of us, all his people, to be radiant. He wants us to be radiant. Now, Lamb beautifully said at the beginning of the service, we go through all sorts of troubles and trials. Sometimes it seems like the darkness has descended on us and it's all over. But Paul tells us in his letter to the second letter to the Corinthians, that is the experience of a servant of God. But it's to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. God wants to shine upon us in our affliction, in our trouble. He wants us to know him in the midst of it, like being stoned to death. That's pretty severe. Paul tells the Philippians, he wants us to be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. The key thing in our lives is dealing with the blemishes that hinder the flow of God's Spirit out of our hearts to one another. And we don't have to be frightened. Jesus has died to set us free from the blemishes, to cleanse us, to wash us, to free us. He loves us so much we can be like the woman caught in adultery. And he will tell all the accusers to go away, for they're just as sinful as the woman caught in adultery, just as you are and me. We're all exactly the same. But God wants us to be without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. This is Philippians 2:15. This is Paul writing to the Philippians. And Daniel tells us at the end of his prophetic book, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, who turn them to Jesus, for he is our righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Do you know, we have a wonderful tradition in the Presbyterian Church. We say and we sing the Aaronic blessing. What is that blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Wow. That's encountering God, isn't it? That's like Stephen. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Of course, gracious, because if he shines like he did on Isaiah, we're going to see that our words we've said and things we've done and judgments we're harboring and unforgiveness that we're holding on to in our lives are all sin, needing to be forgiven and cleansed from our hearts. But the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's exactly what Jesus was doing for Stephen. As he was stoned to death, he was shining on his servant and giving him the grace to sustain, well, oppression and opposition, which none of us at this point have faced. Well, we're all in need, aren't we, of this radiance. And God has promised that he will enable us to shine if we will yield ourselves. The issue we all face is, how stiff is your neck? Do not resist the Holy Spirit when he convicts each one of us of sin, when he's seeking to transform us to be more like Jesus every day of our lives. As we reflect on Stephen, this radiance does not mean that we will not face trials, challenges, opposition, difficulties, but rather, even in the face of these challenges as Stephen faced them, God will enable us to be radiant. The Apostle Paul and Silas were radiant in Philippi. And they wrote, of course, Paul wrote that letter to the Philippians, talking about them shining like stars. But in Philippi, they were beaten with rods, taken captive, put into prison, locked in the stocks. How would you be feeling naturally in that situation? Just put yourself there. Not too good, right? And what did Paul say to Silas, or Silas to Paul? Hey, we need to pray. And you know what? We need to sing. Because you enter the presence of God with thanksgiving, and his very courts with praise. And David in Psalm 16 says, in the presence of God there is fullness of joy. That's Psalm 16 verse 11. In the presence of God there is fullness of joy. Well, sometimes when we're really down, really feeling the weight of things, think of Paul and Silas in jail in Philippi. Put into practice what they did. Get ready for the earthquake. Get ready for the chains to be broken off. Get ready for the faces of these two men to be radiant as a result of their yieldedness to God in their circumstances. Yes, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. Let's pray.